Okay, welcome to After Hours with me, Rick Hogan. Only 2 hours left to Lollapalooza, and we can move on and be a regular Chicago again. My guest for this first segment, Lollapalooza is right in his backyard. He's Carlos Kalmer, who's been the artistic director and principal conductor of the Grant Park Music Festival for how long now, Carlos?
It's already 20 years.
So you knew the Petrillo Band show, did you?
Oh, I knew it very, very well.
Talk to me about the difference between, you were at Petrillo probably for your first 2 or 3 years. I can't remember exactly when Pritzker began.
Pritzker began in 2004, so I started in 2000, so a bunch of years in Petrillo. Petrillo was actually nice. I liked it too. But it, of course, had a very different vibe, and needless to say, the Petrillo was this place that the specialist knew where it was, but it's this place still is. Mm-hmm. It's hidden behind trees, and you have to know a little bit about...
It's a secret. It's a secret band
show. How Grant Park functions. And then, of course, Pritzker Pavilion, the entire Millennium Park was built.
Yeah.
Thanks, of course, to the initiative of Mayor Daley, but there were so many wonderful individuals here in Chicago we have to thank for, because they put money on the on the project.
The Pritzker being where it is as part of the Millennial Park scene, it must have in some small but maybe a more obvious way changed the nature of the audience. Yes or no?
Actually, the only thing I would correct in what you're saying is small. It changed big time. So this is what happened. And just so everybody understand what's the difference. The Petrillo Shell is, if I may pull out a comparison out of the hat, is like you are driving a wonderful 25-year-old Ford. It's working, it's sturdy, it moves, it does what it does. And then all of a sudden, somebody gives you the keys to a brand new Mercedes, last technology, everything is working, high-powered engine, blah, 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 blah. And this is what it is. So, when in Petrillo we had a good night, we had around, let's say, between 2,500 and 3,000 people in attendance.
That's a good night.
That was a good night.
Yeah.
That, for the Pritzker Pavilion, is a bad night. We actually don't do that. That doesn't happen.
I can't imagine how you could. Yeah,
it simply doesn't happen. So I don't
You would find 2,000 people who don't even know where they're going, strolling in and sitting down.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, our seating area alone is 4,000, and then there is the lawn behind it, and when it's packed, it's really packed, and I'm sure we have more than 10,000 people out there. But that's not all. It's also that the sound system of the Pritzker Pavilion is to die for, and you are performing in a piece of art.
Art, no question.
Yes, I always say that you can put actually the stage in any concert hall of the world, and it will work really well. But this imagination of Frank Gehry constructing this and building this added to the richness of Chicago architecture, another gem.
During the winter, when you are out there as the musical director of the Oregon Symphony Orchestra, when do you start to get excited about the more than 10 weeks you are going to spend in Chicago? And I'm talking to you now after about the five nicest summer days I've ever experienced in my many years here. When do you start? It must be, in a sense, even though you're devoted to the Oregon Symphony Orchestra, you must start planning. It must be a year-round kind of thing for you, is it not, Chicago?
Of course it is. Yeah. First of all, I come to the so-called gala here at Grant Park that we do in Chicago, which is most of the time around October. Then I visit during the winter time. So I've seen, trust me, I've seen many times Chicago in winter, and so I know that there is a different temperature and a different vibe in the city.
I love the way you say, I've seen it in winter. You and your family live full time in Oregon, do you not? That is because you have seen Chicago in winter, I would think.
I wouldn't mind the cold. I mean, it's just a different thing. But I mean, I get excited. The first time I get really excited is when we plan the season, which is
sure.
more than a year out.
Of course.
And then I start to, the season starts to get shape. And at the end of the current year, we are going to have the next year already done, plus maybe some things for in 2 years. And so there is a lot to look forward. And I always look at the season and think, there are many thoughts.
Like, oh, I'm sure.
Have I pleased all, what you call, all my constituents? Meaning, I have such a diversity in the audience. I have the people in the audience who absolutely want to hear the War Horses, meaning they want
yeah,
Beethoven, Five, Tchaikovsky,
Brahms,
four,
yeah.
blah. Yeah. And I, of course, am very keen to please them. Then I have the people who are have been regulars of our friends at CSO and Lyric, and they definitely don't want to hear that
mm-hmm.
because they had. So they want to hear things they don't know. Then there are the people who go with us because we play a lot of American music. And then there is an entire, and I would say large amount of people who actually come because we are a free festival. And
exactly.
this is their
yeah.
exposure
yeah.
to classical music. And for that alone, I would say we are crucial for the make of Chicago and its culture.
Do you think, and you're going to be on long enough for us to go all over the map here, do you think that in a sense, by doing what you do and the element of it being free, that you are nurturing a new generation of classical music listeners?
Of course I think so. I think that essentially we are one of the most important tools in this city of Chicago.
I can imagine, yeah.
Because even though every institution, whether it's an orchestra, it's an opera, it's a theater, they want to get the young people.
Of course.
I mean, we are building
and
for the
next
generation.
And we're not Lollapalooza. I don't know how they do it. But Lollapalooza is most certainly not free.
It's not, but so, and all the other institutions need the revenue from the tickets.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean that we don't need private money or money from
corporations. Oh, of course not. Sure.
Yes, we do, and sure. we fundraise, and we have a wonderful department for that. But essentially, the City of Chicago Department for Cultural Affairs and the parks give us at least half of the budget.
That's good.
And that is why we keep our festival free. And thus, we have so many people whose first exposure to classical music is our festival. And so what I think is we give them what they see. It's actually very high level, very good classical music performed by a fantastic orchestra and a phenomenal chorus and great soloists. They will later go on to, they will come back to us because it's fun.
Mm-hmm.
And then they probably will gravitate to, okay, I heard Grand Park. It's actually fun. Let's go and check out the CSO. Let's go check out the Sinfonietta. What is Lyric doing? And so we are...
That would be good because, as you know, those institutions such as the CSO and Lyric are desperate for financial survival. And they need to cultivate the crowd that you are nurturing.
Yeah, and I'm sure that for me, all of these institutions, they are just friends. You know, even that changed so much over the many years I have been here. When I came here, I didn't know much about Grand Park, to tell you the truth, meaning
the
festival.
What drew you here? I want to go back, too, to you and, you know, you growing up in Uruguay and learning to play the violin, because my father learned to play the violin, gave it up very fast when he was a child. But what drew you? You had a lot of international conducting experience, even 20 years ago. And what is it that drew you to Chicago?
Actually, the incentive came from my management, who said to me, look, there is this festival in Chicago. It's very interesting. They are probably going to grow over the years, although she at the time didn't know that actually Pritzker is going to happen.
Yeah.
So she just thought this is a good place artistically. Just check it out. And I came here, and the president of the festival, Jim Palermo, who later became a really very good friend of mine, thought, oh, this is interesting what this young man does. Let's give him a concert next year, and if he survives that, then maybe we can cut a deal. And here I am 20 years later. But at the beginning, 20 years ago, I thought, okay, there is Grand Park. As I described, it's hidden behind the trees. The festival for classical music in Chicago is Ravinia and the CSO.
Yeah. Yeah.
And over 20 years, I don't need to describe it in detail, but that has changed dramatically.
I couldn't agree
the
more.
The classical music festival in the summer is the Grand Park Music Festival.
Question.
No question.
No question.
And Ravinia has gravitated towards being very successful, but something else.
Something complete. Tony Bennett. We have to take a little break. I'm going to continue my conversation with Carlos Kelmer. I need to ask him a million questions about musicians and about music and about the 2 weeks left or month left in the Grand Park Music Festival. 2 weeks left, but it's free, ladies and gentlemen. If you didn't go to Lollapalooza and your kids come home tonight, say, kids, we're spending the next 2 weeks at the Grand Park Music Festival. All of you people who paid those extravagant prices for your kids to go nuts over the last 4 days at Lollapalooza, which is held, of course, in Grant Park, I want you to go to the website, grantparkmusicfestival.com. Find something over the next 2 weeks that you, as adults, would like to see. It will not cost you a penny because the concerts are free. And tell your kids, we're going to Grant Park for 2 weeks and see what they say. One of the people you'll be seeing is Carlos Kelmer, is the artistic director and principal conductor, also the man who made the decision to bring the great Mambo Kings there this Wednesday. Something that has ever intrigued me, Carlos, is the role of a conductor. I'm sure there are some who see themselves as the leading man of the show, of the sort of star of the festivities. And I know others who think of themselves, in a sense, as one of the musicians. How do you see your role?
I think if I can quote something in Latin.
Sure, we have a sophisticated audience.
Yeah, of course. So it's primus inter pares, meaning the first amongst equals. Which, essentially, I don't need to do all this brouhaha I'm the star or so on, because, essentially, of course I'm the leading person.
Sure.
I don't need to hammer that into anybody's face. I just think that it's more important that one realizes that a conductor alone doesn't make any kind of noise.
It's not even interesting, no matter how much you dance or jump around.
Yeah,
the star, if I can ask you, the star of a symphony concert, I think, and I've always thought of, as the composer.
The star is the composer.
Okay.
The instrument is the orchestra. And yes, I play a very, very crucial role. No kidding, but there is no reason why to put conductors on a pedestal. Period.
There are some who think differently than you.
That's okay.
I don't need you to name names. I don't want you to name names.
That is okay.
But that must make your relationship with the musicians less tense than it might otherwise be. Yes.
I hope so, but yeah. But I would say you have to ask the musicians, because
musicians,
I think, this is only a thought of mine, they will tell you, that's actually the truth, what I'm telling you, but Carlos is demanding. Just watch out.
Yeah, you should see him in rehearsal.
He does think
he's the star. Talk to me for a second about the dedication and artfulness of symphony players is sometimes vastly underrated, because they're a bunch of violins there and they're a bunch of people here. Could you talk to me the artistry and dedication of these individuals that make up that whole is often ignored?
And it should not be ignored. Let me just give you a very simple example that actually applies to pretty much every musician on stage that you see here in Grant Park. these wonderful individuals who might be anywhere between 24 and 60-some years old, they all started with their instrument between ages probably 4 and maximum 10.
You started at 6.
I started at 6. Well, I'm a string player. If you are 10 and you start with a string player, it is going to be very tricky for you. But, I mean, there are miracles. Anyway,
yeah. Okay.
But I need everybody to really understand that all these individuals, me included, of course, we have dedicated our life to exactly that.
Yeah.
We have sacrificed, to some extent, parts of our childhood because we needed to practice while our friends were playing basketball or baseball or what,
or watching
something
TV
like that.
Or playing on their phone.
Yeah, that's the modern version. And we went through puberty, etc., etc. Then we studied. Then we applied for a job, which is tremendously difficult to get because competition is fierce. And now, let's assume you get a real job after being vetted and going through an entire process that is grueling. Then you have to do something what I call, you have to keep your chops up.
Sure.
This is not a profession at all where, okay, I have a job for life. I'm a tenured musician. I stopped practicing right away. No such thing happens. You keep on doing that until the day you decide, okay, it's enough. I have done 40 or whatever years of this. I want to do something else. It's a personal decision. The learning never, ever stops. And in particular, I have to talk about the musicians who are working here at Grand Park Music Festival.
How do they come to the Grand Park Music Festival? I know they come from a variety of places.
It's not, yeah.
They're not waiting in some cave for you to say, hey, it's summertime, come on, let's play.
Oh, that would be fun.
Yeah, wouldn't that be easy on you?
They go through the same audition process as you go when you apply for a job at the CSO. It's exactly the same process, and they have to survive several rounds. Now, the musicians of this orchestra at Grand Park Music Festival, a certain percentage, maybe 20 of them, are Lyric Opera Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
There is maybe 10, 15 are freelancers here in Chicago, and the rest is from everywhere in the United States. I have people from Phoenix, I have people from New Mexico, I have people from Virginia, etc. I even have a very wonderful man who plays the bassoon. Our principal bassoon is from Toronto in Canada.
And is
they
it
all come?
Is it, and not to turn you into a star again, I assume that some of them know of your work, and some of them are drawn to you. I wouldn't argue that for a second. Many of them are drawn to the reputation of the orchestra. Many others are drawn to, hey, I'd like to spend a couple months in Chicago. They are drawn for a variety of reasons, yes?
Correct. There are so many advantages to actually spend the summer in Chicago. Chicago is a fantastic city, and you know it.
Yeah.
I don't have to tell you that. The festival is a fantastic venue. The artistry displayed there is very, very high. The only, if I may say so, disadvantage...
Sure.
with a twinkle in my eyes, it's a lot of work.
I don't doubt that for a second.
Yeah, I mean, we here at Grand Park Music Festival offer 3 concerts every week, and it's 2 different programs, and the programs are very diverse, and most of the time the musicians are confronted with music they have never seen before. There are 2 weeks left now of the festival. Yes, we are going to work with the Mambo Kings, which will be a great deal of fun. Not even a question.
Wednesday night, ladies and gentlemen.
But Friday, Saturday, we are going to play A Mass of Life by Frederick Delius. Trust me, nobody knows this piece.
Well, that's good, because I love the idea of exposing. There are a lot of people who will be there Wednesday night who do not know and have never heard of the Mambo Kings, too. So you are introducing people always, you were making introductions to people of new music in their lives.
The thing is, in our festival, we have so much to offer. So you want to have some fun with some lighter, a little bit, let's say, pop sphere, Mambo Kings. We also do a Broadway show. You want
right.
the heavy, romantic English music with a great deal of intellectuality, you come next weekend to the Delius. You want one of the best pieces written in symphonic music, you come at the end of the festival, Mahler Second. You want exposure to female composers, well, there's one chance, which is 7 days after the next Wednesday, and we are going to play Amy Beach, a piece that I'm sure nobody has ever heard.
Not
variations
I.
on Balkan themes.
Yeah.
Wonderful. So it's everything is there. Just come.
This is one of the great salesmen I've ever known. The park is a great sales place. The Pritzker Pavilion is a great venue. You have played, I'm going to let you go a little early, but you have played all over the world. You know the scene, the classical music scene, the orchestra scene all over this planet. Let me ask you, if you could, in a couple minutes, the differences between, are there vast differences between Europe, let's say, and the United States? I know you have to make a real generalization. You also run the music director of the Oregon Symphony Orchestra. Are there, in the audience, in the type of music presented, are there lines of difference that you can see, that you can hear?
I can tell you an answer that I would have given you probably 18 years ago.
Okay.
Which is the difference in orchestras is that American orchestras tend to be technically more skilled. They
really?
And yeah, 18 years ago.
Okay.
And second, I always tell this, it's not even an anecdote. It's like, so American orchestras' demeanor towards when they work with a conductor is, I want to do whatever you tell me to do. European, especially German orchestras, where I have spent most of
sure.
my life before I started working here extensively, have the demeanor, I need to do what you're telling me, but I'd rather do it the way I want it. That's 18
yeah.
years ago. Let's just remember one thing which applies to music and classical orchestras the same as it applies to every business. There is globalization. So we are all now mixed up, and you have to work very, very hard to make your orchestra to have a very distinctive approach
yeah.
to whatever you do. I can tell you one thing. The Grand Park Music Festival Orchestra is a phenomenal orchestra and probably the fastest orchestra you can find in this planet, because I don't know any orchestra who just pulls out concert after concert of music that in part they don't know, and they are there. And on top of that, we have a chorus with my friend Christopher Bell, who is the chorus director, which is to die for.
Yeah.
So there are many reasons to come to us.
Carlos Camel, you're a Chicago treasure. That's all I can say. You really are, and I'm glad you run that thing. Please go to grantparkmusicfestival.com for the upcoming schedule for the next 2 weeks, and lock your kids in the closet and tell them you're going to Grant Park for 2 weeks. Carlos, it's great to see you again, and best of luck.
Thank you very much.
We will be back. I'm going to spend 5 minutes talking to a guest from Ireland. This is such an international show. And then we'll have Howard Tolman in here to tell you all how to be entrepreneurs.